Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, May 17th, 2024. Section A. Herman appointed as new Lubbock Police Chief. Midland searches for replacement. By B.K. Richter. Lubbock. Lubbock City Council members appointed Chief of Midland Police Seth Herman as the incoming Lubbock Police Chief Tuesday during a regular meeting. According to Lubbock City Manager Jared Atkinson, Herman was said to be one of four finalists selected as part of a nationwide search that began in January. This process included application, writing assignments, video interviews, extensive research, and multiple in-person interviews were conducted, Atkinson said. Herman has served 28 years at the Midland Police Department, with 7 years as Midland's Chief of Police. He has worked in various units such as SWAT, gang unit, narcotics, and others. Moving forward, Midland city officials advised that the Midland Police Department will hire an interim police chief and then hire a new full-time police chief. A city spokesperson confirmed that as of Wednesday, there have been 5 applicants for the interim position. The interviews for the interim position will begin Friday. The City of Midland also confirmed that Herman's last day is set for May 21st. As for the selection process of the interim police chief, city officials stated that city management has had communication with the Police Officers Association and all 3 deputy chiefs, as well as others, before the interim position is selected. For the full-time position and role of Midland's police chief, city officials advised that an executive recruitment firm will be hired to perform a nationwide search. Midland residents and law enforcement officials will also be asked for their input for the next police chief via community town halls and surveys. However, the dates of those planned sessions have yet to be provided. The hiring will coincide with an effort to hire more community service officers, CSOs, and increase the force of the Citizens on Patrol, COPS, volunteer program to increase our presence while allowing MPD officers to do true police work, city officials said in a press statement distributed Thursday morning. From rockhound to jeweler, Randy Bryant turned childhood rock obsession into flourishing jewelry career. By B.K. Richter. For Midland artist Randy Bryant, his childhood passion for rocks and fossils inspired him to take the next step and launch a career as a professional jeweler. I grew up in Houston, he said during a phone interview with the Reporter Telegram Tuesday. When I moved here, Midland, I decided to become a member of the Midland Gem and Mineral Society. Bryant signed up for his first course that was offered through the organization, and the rest was history. Back then, the class was 6 weeks long and cost $25, he said. I could use the rock shop anytime I wanted to, so I started cutting stones in my free time. I probably had over 100 stones. Eventually, Bryant's collection grew to more than 150 stones, and he faced a problem. I didn't know what to do with all these stones, so I took a silversmithing class. 10 years after that class, I started being a jeweler as an occupation, Bryant recalled of his beginnings as a Midland artist. The West Texan said that these days he focuses on a lot of customer order pieces and displays his work in about 10 art shows per year. "I go all over Texas," he said. "I go to places like Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, and even into New Mexico, like Albuquerque and Santa Fe." Bryant said the area has shaped his designs over the years. "I started going to all kinds of rock shows, like in Lubbock and Roswell and Albuquerque, that provided me with the knowledge of the physical craft. But what shaped my design was the Southwest types of designs that you see here," he explained. "If you go back north and east, you see a lot of metals. But here in West Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Nevada, and Utah, there's a lot of turquoise. There's a more prevalent presence here in the Southwest with gems and stones and minerals. I would say my work is a contemporary Southwest style." Bryant believes his work and designs would have been different if he had gone to another area and learned his craft. Bryant's artistry is labor-intensive. He has spent more than 50 hours fine-tuning a piece. "I do everything from the rough rock. I mark the shape that I want to cut and polish," he said. "I try and design the piece around the stone. It's a lot of precision work and very time-consuming." Bryant's next planned show will be at the 21st Annual Texas Masters of Fine Art and Craft Invitational Show at the Y.O. Ranch Hotel in Kerrville during Memorial Day weekend, May 24th through 26th. "Myself, along with three or four other artists, have been there since the beginning of the showcase," Bryant said. According to the organizers of the show, each of the 25 invited exhibitors has spent years mastering their chosen mediums, ranging from oil painting to ceramics to woodworking to sculpture to photography. "Our goal is to gather a group of skilled artists and craftspeople whose work makes you want to meet them because it tells you that they have something interesting to say," organizer Dan Baker said in a press release. The show hours will be Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission is free to the public. For more information about the show and its artists, and to view photographs of their work, go to http://texasmasters.com. Bryant says he wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the Midland Gem and Mineral Society. "If it weren't for that rock club, I would have never learned nor experienced the craft," he said. "Taking those classes was the best $50 that I ever spent. I had no idea that a hobby would turn into a job." Black Gold Tattoo Expo debuts in Midland this weekend, by B.K. Richter. Tattoo aficionados can descend upon the Midland County Horseshoe Arena this weekend to join more than 150 tattoo artists, piercers, and vendors, all under one roof. For the first time in the Midland area, the Black Gold Tattoo Expo will take place from Friday to Sunday. Admission is $20 for a day pass and $40 for a weekend pass. Children ages 12 and under are free. According to organizers, there will be numerous vendors, face painting, and more offered to guests. Lubbock tattoo artist and Ink Master Season 10 contestant Mike Diaz will host the expo. During a phone interview with the reporter Telegram, Diaz said, "Being portrayed on television was a completely different world. It gave me a reality check of what the television side is," he said. "But you learn a lot, especially with being housed with 23 other people who share your craft." Diaz also said he felt a certain sense of camaraderie with the other industry professionals he starred with on Ink Master. "We are all competing with each other, but it's like a new family," he said. "We still all help each other out." This is not the first time Diaz has hosted an expo in West Texas. In 2015, he hosted one of the first tattoo expos in Odessa. "I have a lot of clients here in Midland," Diaz said. "I have a following which extends this way." He said most of his tattooing is centered around serious work. "I have a lot of clients that take more than two sessions," he said. Diaz said his art is more than just a profession. It is part of his early childhood and even educational pursuits. He shared that he has a degree in fine arts from Texas Tech University in Lubbock. "I have been an artist my entire life," he said. Ruben Villarreal, an organizer and promoter of the Black Gold Tattoo Expo, said they are hoping for approximately 2,000 guests during the weekend event based on previous events hosted in the Permian Basin. "At this point, tickets will only be sold on site," he said. "They will be cash only at the door, but there will be ATMs available for guests." Permian Basin Gives, Ready for 24-Hour Giving Marathon, by Mella McEwen. Approximately 117 nonprofit organizations located throughout the Permian Basin will be testing the region's reputation for generosity with next week's 24-Hour Giving Marathon. The nonprofits are hoping to raise a collective $870,000 from 12:01 a.m. through 11:59 p.m. May 21st, during Permian Basin Gives. "Each organization sets their own goals," said Lori Johnson, executive director of the Nonprofit Management Center, which helps market the overall event. Johnson said it's up to each individual nonprofit to organize and publicize their campaigns. "It's always important to point out any donation of any size is important. We want people to give at any level they can. Fundraising success is multiplied by the number of people who donate," she told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. Permian Basin Gives got its start in 2020 as the COVID-19 pandemic forced many nonprofits to cancel their fundraisers. Since the first event, thousands of people have donated more than $4.7 million to participating events. Organizations focus on a variety of needs, from education to health and research to human services, the arts and culture to public and social benefit. Beyond Midland and Odessa, organizations from Alpine, Marfa, Marathon, and Presidio are participating in the event. Anyone wishing to donate during the 24-hour event may go directly to an organization's website or go to www.permianbasingives.org to see a list of all participating agencies. Organizations can be sorted alphabetically or by mission, such as education, human services, health and research, etc. Clicking on the nonprofit's logo on the Permian Basin Gives website will direct the donor to the organization's website. Middle school student arrested with gun in Odessa, by B.K. Richter. Ector County officials confirmed that due to a tip from Odessa Crime Stoppers, a student at Nimitz Middle School was found to have a gun while at school. According to a press statement released from ECISD, the school district's police officers quickly located the 8th grade female student and discovered she had a handgun in her backpack. Officers secured the gun and arrested the student for places weapons prohibited, a third-degree felony, the statement from school officials said. The girl stated to officers she brought it as protection from someone else. ECISD said they were thankful for the tip, as the Odessa Crime Stoppers program has been part of ECISD for many years. It has proved to be an effective tool in our effort to keep our schools and our community as safe as possible, ECISD said in a written statement. It worked for us again today. District officials reminded parents to talk to their children about how dangerous and illegal it is to possess weapons. Please check to see what they are putting into their backpacks or other bags, ECISD stated. This is work we must do together to keep our kids safe. Midland Police seek help to identify reckless driver by B.K. Richter. The Midland Police Department and Midland Crime Stoppers need assistance with identifying a reckless driver. During April, Midland police officers spotted the same motorcycle numerous times in the area of Midkiff and Wall Street, in addition to neighborhoods located northwest of the area. Each time the driver was driving at a high rate of speed and being reckless. According to the Midland Crime Stoppers, the driver is reported as baiting the officers into a vehicle pursuit. The actions of the motorcycle driver are irresponsible and dangerous, and he could potentially cause an accident injuring innocent people, Midland Crime Stoppers wrote in a Facebook post. The reckless driver has been described as driving a white sports motorcycle and wearing dark clothing, white boots, and a white helmet. If the public has any information that leads to an arrest or charges filed, it can lead to a cash reward. Call Midland Crime Stoppers at 432-694-TIPS. Use the P3 Mobile Tips app or visit www.694tips.com. Midland Crime Stoppers reminds the public that no caller identification is ever used and calls will remain anonymous, always. Please reference MPD case number 240413023. Midland Sheriff Seeks Help in Highway Homicide Case by B.K. Richter. The Midland County Sheriff's Office and Midland Crime Stoppers are asking Midland residents to help solve a homicide case. MCSO deputies were dispatched to the 10,400 block of West I-20 about a medical call May 12th, between the hours of 9 and 11 a.m. Once deputies arrived, a deceased man with a gunshot wound was located lying on the ground outside his semi-truck. Video footage of the incident revealed a dark-colored Dodge single-cab pickup truck as being seen in the area during the time of the incident. The Dodge is believed to possibly be blue, but this information has not been confirmed by authorities. Midland County investigators are asking for assistance in identifying the driver of the truck so that this individual can be questioned as a person of interest. This case is currently being investigated as a homicide. Midland residents with any information on this case that leads to the suspect's arrest will be eligible for a $1,000 cash reward. Call Midland Crime Stoppers at 432-694-TIPS or use the P3 Mobile Tips app. No caller identification is used and calls will remain anonymous, officials stated. Midlander announces Pool Works franchise by Mella McEwen. Midlander Billy Castaneda had spent 28 years in one industry, but he decided he was too young to retire, so he looked for a new start. He drew his inspiration from his own home, his backyard swimming pool, and joined the swimming pool maintenance and supply industry. Now he is the franchise partner for Pool Works, celebrating the grand opening of Pool Works Midland Odessa on May 18th. The celebration will be at the new location, 1304 North Loop 250 West, just south of Princeton, on the east side of the loop. The grand opening celebration is set from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. May 18th and will include food and drawings for prize giveaways every hour. Country music radio station Lone Star 92.3 will also be on site from 10 a.m. to noon. Having a pool of his own, I saw the need, the opportunity, Castaneda told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. Midland needed another place to purchase supplies and equipment. Though Midland is situated on the northern reaches of the Chihuahuan Desert, a plentiful number of homes have swimming pools, spas, and hot tubs. Castaneda attributed that to the lack of water and entertainment. Midlanders use the pools to create backyard memories of their own, he said. The retail store will not only provide supplies and equipment, but mobile service to clean, maintain, repair, and install equipment for pools, spas, and hot tubs. Life tributes for Friday, May 17th. Glenn James Ellis, Sr. Glenn was born in Woods Cross, Utah, July 8, 1932, the son of Montag, Monty Ellis, and Edna James Ellis. He passed away May 13th. He married Lucille Thagard in the fall of 1956. Glenn was preceded in death by his father, Montague Ellis, mother, Edna Ellis, a younger brother, Vaughn Ellis, and his daughter-in-law, Claire Thompson Ellis. He is survived by his wife, Lucille Thagard Ellis, son, Glenn James Ellis, Jr., and Barbara Sledge, daughter, Dawn Belen Ellis of Dallas, sister, Karma Frankos of Salt Lake City, Utah, 4 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren. A graveside service will be held Saturday, May 18th at 3 p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. And then join the family for a celebration of Glenn's life at 4 o'clock at the Racquet Club of Midland. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Scottish Rite Hospital in Dallas, First Presbyterian Church of Midland, or the charity of your choice. Joanne Clark, Lufkin. Graveside services for Joanne Clark, 72, of Lufkin, will be held Saturday, May 18th at 11 a.m. at Rest Haven North Memorial Park in Midland. Miss Clark was born November 15th, 1951, in Lubbock, to the late M.J. Clark and Shorty Helton Clark, and she passed away Monday, May 13th in Lufkin. She is survived by her brother and his wife, Michael J. and Vicki Clark of Crosby, several nephews and nieces, and an aunt. Joanne was preceded in death by her mother, Shorty Helton Clark, and her father, M.J. Clark, her maternal grandmother, Opal Gunnels Martin. Schaefer Funeral Home, Lufkin, directors. James Michael Helms. James Michael Helms passed away at Midland Memorial Hospital May 7th at the age of 68. Surviving him are his daughter, Rachel Welch, and husband, Taylor of Midland, son, Brandon, and wife, Ashley of Dallas, sister, Jennifer Adams, and brother-in-law, Clint of Big Spring, sister-in-law, Karen A. Rowan, and brother-in-law, Jan Pritzel of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and five grandchildren. His wife, Charlie, preceded him in death. A memorial celebration will be held at Ellis Funeral Home May 18th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. A Zoom link is available through the Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home website at ellisfunerals.com. In lieu of flowers, donations may be sent to the Basset Hound Club of America Health Foundation via www.bassethoundfoundation.org/support.html. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Joe Anthony Flores. Joe Anthony Flores was born July 23, 2003, passed away Monday, May 13, 2024, in Coke County. Acres West Funeral Chapel will be handling all arrangements. There are no services at this time. Bobby Jean Nugent Hagler. Bobby Jean Nugent Hagler passed away Sunday, May 12th. Visitation with family will be Sunday, May 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. A celebration of life will be held Monday, May 20th at 10 a.m. at Golf Course Road Church of Christ, with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permy and Proud. Midland students win SUVs for outstanding school attendance, May 16, 2024, by staff report. Simply for having excellent attendance at school, two Midland students each won brand new sports utility vehicles courtesy of Rogers Ford Lincoln. Albany Solis of Midland High pictured and Dylan Ramjotin of Legacy High became eligible for local dealerships drawing thanks to their outstanding school attendance, according to Midland ISD. News West 9 attended the drawing and reported that 40 students in total were eligible for the contest, as they didn't miss a single day during a six-week grading period this year and maintained a 90% attendance rate. The students who didn't win SUVs received $50 gift cards, the news station reported. Midland High's principal praised the contest for encouraging students to come to school. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org live stream. Midland YMCA breaks ground on Northwest expansion, May 16, 2024, by staff report. The Midland YMCA recently broke ground on its Northwest expansion project. The YMCA acquired 25 acres in the growing Northwest region of Midland. The existing structure at the southwest corner of Avalon and Mockingbird will be renovated to serve Midland families seeking affordable after-school programs for children, along with health and wellness programs for all ages. The location will free up to 100 after-school spots at the downtown location, the YMCA stated. This facility will allow the Y to provide these initial services while master planning the remaining acreage to best serve the community, the organization states. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas Radio at www.recordinglibrary.org live stream.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, May 11th, 2024. Religion. Odessa gets drive-through prayer. Leader says the need was greater than anticipated. by Bob Campbell. This is a drive-through society in a lot of ways, and a group of Odessans decided to accommodate people who need prayer with a drive-through prayer service. Starting last December, Megan Prado and her husband Andrew, brother-in-law and sister Robert and Heather Gonzalez, and parents Gary and Shelley Warren, and others, put up a tent in the East 8th Street Shopping Center at East 8th and Neighbors Lane, and began offering prayers for everyone who drove up between 5 and 6:30 p.m. each Tuesday. "We have prayed for 100 people," Prado said. "You have no idea that people are going through so much till you start talking to them. There are a lot of financial problems, marriage struggles, alcohol, drug and health problems. They each have their own story and they hurt so much. It's an honor to go to the Lord on behalf of people you wouldn't be able to talk to otherwise, like the Bible tells us to do." Prado got the idea from friends in Seattle and from learning about a similar service in Austin. The Prados are members of Redeemer Church, and they have friends from there who participate, along with Chapel Hill Baptist Church pastor Aubrey Jones and members of his church. The leaders keep the first names of people they pray for in a book and keep praying for them. Elderly people who can't come to the tent are given the list, and they pray for the people on it. "It's such a blessing," Prado said. "We've had a number of people come back and thank us. You get to see the Lord showing He cares that you are struggling and suffering." The goal is that people who don't know the Lord will come to a relationship with Him through the gospel. We live in a convenient society, so we want to make it as convenient as possible for them. They just have to obey that little nudge from the Holy Spirit to turn back around. Prado said that as many as 4 vehicles have been lined up at a time. Referring to cell phones, computers, and TVs, she said a lot of people are stuck on the screen. "You may have 500 Facebook friends, but how many people can you actually share your struggles with? It's hard to say, 'I need help. I'm struggling.'" The Reverend Jones said the drive-through prayer tent is a great opportunity to show the love of Christ. "It's not about any one congregation or trying to grow any one church," he said, adding that his wife Molly also takes part. "The best description I can give is that it's God's people trying to minister to anyone and everyone." Megan is an awful sweet lady who has a passion to serve. We see some people once and some over and over, and we continue to pray for them throughout the week. It's about God's kingdom. Features from the Bible. Truth in Scripture. Rehoboam, king of Judah. 1 Kings 14, 2 Chronicles 11 and 12. Rehoboam was the son of King Solomon and Naamah, an Ammonite. He became king of Judah when he was 41 years old, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem. During his reign, the people of Judah did evil in the eyes of the Lord and stirred up his jealous anger. They set up for themselves high places, sacred stones and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading tree. There were male shrine prostitutes in the land, and the people engaged in all the detestable practices of the people of the nations the Lord had driven out of the land before the Israelites arrived. In the 5th year of King Rehoboam's reign, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem and carried off the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the treasures of the royal palace. He took everything, including all the gold shields Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them and assigned these to the commanders of the guard on duty at the entrance to the royal palace. Whenever the king went to the Lord's temple, the guards bore the shields. While Rehoboam was king, there was continual warfare between him and Jeroboam, king of Israel. When Rehoboam died, he was buried with his fathers in the city of David.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.